Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host, Quinn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, writer Heather O'Connor. A picture book doesn't have many words, Heather, so they have to be chosen very carefully, both for that reason and also because the story is usually for young children. Does this slow up the process of writing?
It didn't for me. I write for at a graded reading level. I write nonfiction at a graded reading level for students. And so I'm quite aware of what the language needs to be. I think one of the things you have to take into consideration is the rhythm of the words, because in a picture book with a parent reading aloud, you like those words to have a rhythm to them. They're almost poetic. There's the kids like a lot of repetition. So in Fast Friends, Tyson goes speedy quick a lot of times. And there's a few places where there's repetition. It's like telling a story instead of reading a story. So it really often helps if you read it aloud, because then you can find out the places where you'd want to stop and pause, and you find the rhythm and where it doesn't work.
So tell us, how long did it take to write Fast Friends?
About half an hour. How long did it take to edit Fast Friends? A little longer than that, but it was still basically the same story. But then I think that was partly because I told the story, so I had a fairly good idea of what this story might be like.
And what about publication then? Was it easy to find a publisher?
Well, there's a funny story about that, actually. I wrote the story. I'd applied for a grant I'd written it, I think, in August. And in September, I applied for an Ontario Arts Council recommender grant, which was immensely helpful. It allowed me to take a workshop, like a picture book boot camp with Alma Fullerton, who's a wonderful picture book writer and illustrator. Fortunately, she felt that the story was mostly ready already when I went, but I learned a lot about writing a picture book. And I got a beautiful little note on the recommender grant from Karen Lee, the editor at Owl Kids. And she said, "I love this. Send it to me when it's done." So I did, but I didn't hear anything. And I thought, oh, well, she didn't like it then as much as I'd hoped she would. And the following autumn, I was at a Canscape conference, which I highly recommend to anybody who's in children's books. And
what conference was that?
The Canscape Packaging Your Imagination Conference. Mm-hmm. It's in Toronto every fall. Mm-hmm. It's just a one-day conference, and they offer one-to-ones with editors and publishers. And I asked for a one-to-one with this picture book with the editor from Scholastic, and I asked for a one-to-one with another project with Karen Lee from Owl Kids, because I figured, well, she liked one of my books, maybe she'll like another one. As soon as Anne Schoen and I sat down, she said, "I love this story. Is it available?" And I said, yes, it is. So this is why you go to these one-to-ones, mm-hmm. because the author can acquire your picture, can ask you to send the picture book and skip the slush pile. Half an hour later, I went to my other one-to-one, and Karen Lee said, "By the way, I recognized your name. You sent me a manuscript a while ago. Is it still available?" And I said, it was until half an hour ago. Then it took about a year for Scholastic to go through the acquisition process, because it's a big press and it had to go through a lot of hoops. Anne Schoen was lovely, and she kept saying, "You know, don't worry, we still want this. It takes a while." And finally, almost a year later, she said, "Guess what? Fast Friends might not have gone very quickly through the acquisition progress. We're not very fast, but we'd love to buy it." Once they've all decided, yes, we can do this project, they start the hunt for an illustrator.
How do they do that? Do they ask the artists they think might suit the story best to send in an illustration as a, you know, so they can make a decision, or how do they do that? Do you know?
I'm not an expert in that, but what I think happens is that they have a portfolio, so they look at their portfolio to see what kind of work they do, and they send in a couple of preliminary sketches. I believe that often is character, some of it is character, because they want to get the characters right. And then once they've got the project, they work on rough sketches. So they take a look at the roughs and say, "Well, move this person or make that this." I was asked a couple of times to one of the settings for one of the spreads changed from inside the classroom. Claudia said, "Well, it would be boring to have two spreads inside the classroom. Let's move one of them." I think they were in the cloakroom, or one of them went outside, which was an easy enough change for me. And then she has to figure out how to set the story. So she's coming up with these small, she's coming up with her part of the story. Mm-hmm. Once they've got that nailed down, a lot of times I get to look at those sketches and I say, well, the wheelchair is wrong here. Or I don't know, Tyson should be noticing this, you know, certain things that I can pull out of the story. And then they take all of the art director, the editors, the authors' ideas into consideration. And then she comes up with the full color art. And we get to look at that, and there are changes to that as well. It's quite an involved process. I much prefer
it. Is a very involved process. I think it's an interesting one, and interesting yeah. to hear about it. Thank you.
And all the communication goes from Claudia to the art director to the editor to me, from me to the editor to the art director to Claudia.
So tell us about how you plan to launch and market the book in these pandemic times.
It's not easy, is it?
I mean, no, it's not.
Well, fortunately, I have opportunities like this radio show, which is lovely. Getting a chance to speak with you folks and get the word out that way. We are actually going to do a live event, very safe and socially distanced. It's going to be a live event for International Friendship Day at Blue Heron Books, and that is on July 30th. Ted Staunton is joining me because he has a new picture book out for kids called Friends for Real. So I thought it would be great for us both to have an opportunity to get our books to some families and young people and at my favorite indie bookstore, Blue Heron Books. So families can book a time at 11 or at 1. It's going to be outdoors, outside this store. On the street, and all the tables will be distant enough so that people will be safe, and it'll all be sanitized in between, so we can read stories. Ted's going to bring his banjo and his guitar, which I'm excited to hear, and there's going to be some giveaways and refreshments, and it's going to be a lot
of fun. Sounds like a party.
It'll be the only party I've been to since March.
Thank you for telling us all that, Heather. That was really interesting. Please read to us some more from Betting Game.
Okay, that'd be great. 10 minutes left in the match, and here he comes again, number 10. He fakes out our midfield, doing stepovers like a Neymar wannabe. That won't work on me. I've been shutting him down all night, and it's making him crazy. It's making me crazy, too, because we always beat Port Peterson. We pay for our wins in blood and bruises, but we always win. Tonight, I glance at the two guys icing injuries on the bench. We've got blood and bruises, but we're still chasing our first goal. Come on! I ambush number 10 outside the 18-yard box and jockey. He touches the ball through, but I get a foot on it. Then he somersaults over my foot. He could get a gold medal for a dive like that, or a yellow card. He rolls around like his leg is broken. Correction, a gold medal and an Academy Award. The ref whistles the play. Called that one, I mutter. Drama queen. I set up the ball for a free kick, but the ref whistles again and pulls out a yellow. For me! I roll my eyes. Seriously, ref? Number 10 jumps up and smirks at me. I clap my hands. Nice performance, jerk face. Miraculous recovery. Forget it, Jack! Alex yells from the net, grab a man. No problem, bro. I follow number 10. Free kick is perfect. So as the elbow number 10 lands when we go up to head the ball, I end up flat on my back, counting stars. Son of a whistle? Must be the elbow. Good call, ref. Wait, cheering? They scored on that header? I sit up and everything spins. Hands pull me to my feet and steady me until the black fades. Alex's face swims into view. You all right, bro? Yeah. Then I see number 10 and lunge, but I'm going to kill that guy. I must have hit my head harder than I thought. I can't reach him. Then I figure it out. Alex won't let go of my shirt. Don't be stupid, Jack. Just get it back. But the ball barely clears the center circle when the game ends. We've lost. To Port frickin' Peterson.
We've been talking to writer Heather O'Connor this afternoon. Thank you so much, Heather, for coming in and talking about your new picture book, Fast Friends.
Thank you.
Where can our listeners purchase Fast Friends and your other book for older children, Betting Game?
Well, they can all be purchased online. I'm not sure when Fast Friends will be in stores, but it's available at Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, Chapters, and indie bookstores. I know if you go somewhere like Blue Heron Books, they can order it in for you and have it delivered to your door. In fact, if you order Fast Friends from Blue Heron before the Friendship Celebration, I can inscribe it while I'm there.
Great. To connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for who we might interview in future programs to our website, www.wordonthehills.com, where all our broadcasts are archived. We love to hear from you and welcome your comments on our program. Thanks for tuning in to the show. We hope you'll join us for another program next week on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.